Welcome to the Insulite Health PCOS Inspiration Hour with Robin Nielsen, our Chief Wellness Officer. It's our meeting place to connect, motivate, and learn, where we empower women with PCOS to transform their lives through these powerful interviews with some of the world's leading experts on PCOS.
Welcome, everyone. This is the place where we come together each month for a shot of inspiration and motivation, and I'm so glad to be with you here today. You know, this is element number 5 of our 5-element PCOS system. It's our support community, and it's one of the foundations for taking charge of PCOS. That's why it's so important for us women to band together and to really support each other to feel better and to take charge of our health and our lives. It's so easy not to do that in this, you know, busy, male-dominated world. And, you know, we get a lot of satisfaction, or we're taught to get a lot of satisfaction out of doing for others. And so this is a really great chance for you to do for yourself. So I'm just really honored that you're here today. And if you find yourself listening to the replay, same thing. So great. You're just moving your health in the right direction. You know, Inspiration Hour is so wonderful because when we don't hold the belief for ourselves that it's possible to heal, or we don't think we can, you can always hang on to our beliefs, right? The women who we have as guests on our program can show you that it is possible to feel better because we know it can happen for you. So just hang on to our beliefs. Say they know it, so I'm going to hang on to that, and I'm going to believe that I can do it too. And just by showing up here today, whether you're listening in live or whether you're listening to the replay, you're taking the necessary steps to feeling better and eventually feeling fabulous. Because it's not information that makes change, it's action that makes change, okay? And we all want a little bit of feeling fabulous, and in my case, I always want a lot of it. So I can't wait to introduce my guest for today. So awesome. I'm always just so honored and grateful to have these women on to share their stories. And I'll introduce her in just a moment, but first I want to let you know how you can win a one-month membership to our VIP PCOS 5-element system. So it's the world's only system for PCOS. It includes our complete nutrient system. You get 4 weekly video tips. You get your first monthly success packet that walks you step-by-step through what to do the first month, along with an invite to join our empowered Facebook community. The only thing you have to pay for is shipping. So in the U.S. and Canada, the cost to you is $9.95. And then if you live somewhere else in the world, it really depends on where you are, and we'll have to get you pricing on that for shipping. The system normally sells for $129 per month, so we're pleased to give it away to someone today. And here's how you can enter to win. You just have to be listening in live. You have to post a comment on our website there. It's on the page where you're listening to this program, or a question in the Q&A box on your screen, or if you're just listening by telephone, press *2 to raise your hand, ask a question, or give a comment. And then each time you comment or ask a question, you'll be entered in our drawing. And Angie is going to help us with your questions, your comments, and choosing our winner for today. And then the winner will be announced at the end of the interview today. So make sure that you stay on to the very end, and then please ask your questions. This is your time to take that next step in your health journey, and we're so excited to help you do that because we know that it's possible for you to feel so much better. So now I want to introduce my guest for today. She's been sharing it for quite a while in our programs and our Empower community, and she's been a shining light for so many. You know, our team recognized her as someone who could really help you take that next step and show you how to take charge of your PCOS and your health. And her name is Jeannie Ulrich, and she comes all the way from a really cool place in the UK, and she's going to tell us all about that. Welcome, Jeannie.
Thanks, Robin.
So tell us a little bit about your story. You just recently moved from, it looks like, Alaska to England, and we'd love to get to know a little bit more about you. You were telling us that you're on a little island somewhere.
Well, I'm not on an island. I'm on a peninsula near Liverpool in northwest England. So it's just across the river from Liverpool. It's a place called the Wirral. And I officially moved on June 12th. That's when I entered the country with my settlement visa. But I've been in transition from Alaska since November with getting my belongings over here. I married my British-born husband in February, and so I was over here then, and there's just been a lot of back and forth. So I've been in transition for a while, finally moved for good on June 12th.
And how do you like it so far?
So far, so good. I'm definitely getting adjusted. I've had several trips over here before moving. I've known my now husband we've been together, I guess it's been 4.5 years. So there's been several trips, but this time is different because I'm living here, so I'm starting to apply for jobs, and I bought a car last week, and I've been driving on the left side of the road while I sit on the right side of the car. That's been interesting.
Wow. Oh, that's great. So that's a big life change for you, huh?
It really is a big life change. It's exciting and scary all at the same time.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Well, very cool. It's nice. Change is good. You know, it shakes things up a bit, gets us to rethink, you know, what we want to do with our lives. So kind of fun. I'm excited for you.
Yes,
because
it's good.
Jeannie is,
Sorry, there's a delay.
Yeah, go ahead. There is a delay because she's so far away from me. But it's very cool. Jeannie it's actually midnight for her, so we are really blessed to have her on tonight. And we know that she's going to get a good night's sleep tonight and hopefully sleep in a little bit for tomorrow. So you, Jeannie, you were saying that it has been kind of a big life change.
Yes, it's a huge change for me. I grew up in Washington State, but I lived in Alaska for 20 years and raised my kids there. So I've got young adult children. And moving away from my long career in Alaska and further away from my kids who are spread out. They weren't, only one was left in Alaska when I left. But it's a big change, and it really is a change that was something that I did for me after lots and lots of years of making sure everyone else was okay. So it's kind of fun to be doing something because it's what I want to do.
Oh, that's perfect. Oh, my gosh, what a great segue. Tell us about you. Like, what are some of your hobbies? What is your profession? What were you doing in Alaska? How did you end up in Alaska? We just want to get to know you a little bit better.
I ended up in Alaska in, I guess it was 19, so I guess I lived there over 20 years. It was 1995. I was pregnant with my youngest child when we moved there, and my husband at the time, who I was with for 20 years, he got a job in Alaska. So we ended up in Alaska, and I waited tables for the first 3 years we were there. And then I got a job as a social worker, which is what I went to school for. So I worked for 17 and a half years in the field of child protection social work for the state of Alaska in various roles. And it's a pretty stressful, consuming job. And big family. I have two stepsons who live full time with us, and then three biological children that I raised since birth. And so by the time Mary, my youngest, was born, and she was the one born in Alaska, I was young. I was only 25 when she was born, but she was the fifth in the family. So it was raising five kids, working full time at a pretty stressful job, and just trying to kind of get through is what a lot of those years were like.
Wow, that is a busy life, and that's not unlike my life. I didn't have five kids, but, you know, two kids and just, you know, working full time and saying yes to everything, you know, just whenever a parent couldn't fill in or something, I would say I would do it. And, you know, then being the president of different associations and, you know, we just end up really filling up our lives. Did you find that was the case for yourself?
Definitely. Especially once I started doing the child protection social work, which is typical, most of the roles are typically more than full time. So it was between that and just taking care of my family at home. It definitely felt like I was just, from the time I got up until the time I went to bed, was just doing things for other people, making sure other people were okay, taking care of other people all the time. Mm-hmm. Like even during lunch and even during, you know, if I had a 15-minute break or something, which wasn't typical, it would be handling calls that had to do with something for the kids. Or if I took time off, it was all about what do the kids need? What does the family need? Yeah, it was really busy. Yeah.
Yeah, super busy. And I can't even imagine what laundry is like for a family of seven.
It's a lot. We never got to the point, or rarely did we get to the point of matching socks. I would get things folded, but my kids just got in this habit of going to this basket full of socks in the morning and just finding two that kind of matched and getting to school. Because we just, they could have done it for themselves if they wanted to, but nobody ever did it. So there were certain things that just had to go with seven of us.
Yes.
And, yeah, we also didn't have a dishwasher, so that was a big deal. So,
Well, you would just be loading up the dishwasher all the time and unloading it. Like every day it would be full, and then you'd have to unload. So probably it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Family like that. And it's so funny, we only had four, you know, in our household, and still socks were missing. Like, is there a sock gremlin or something? Where do socks go? So I ended up, there's a book that just really saved me. It was like, don't sweat the small stuff with kids or something like that. And, you know, her recommendation was to just get one of those mesh bags, and you just have each kid gets a mesh bag, and you just throw, you know, when the socks are dirty, you just throw them in your mesh bag, and then those get thrown in the wash, and then everybody gets their mesh bag back with the same socks they put in it. So it was like little tips like that that ended up saving me. And I love your basket of socks. I think that's so funny because it kind of made a game out of it every morning.
Yeah. And my youngest refused to wear matching socks, too. She always wanted two different brightly colored socks. From a very early age, she was always very independent, so it worked for her.
She was very fashion forward.
Yeah.
That's cute. Well, thank you so much for sharing a little bit about yourself, because it helps to give us some backstory. So you shared with us that you're about 46, and I love to tell women just to forget about their age, because it doesn't matter, but it gives us some context of where you are in your life. And so tell us a little bit about your health journey. So, you know, when did you first begin to notice signs of hormone imbalance, or when did you first notice that some things were not feeling right for you?
Well, looking back, I would say as a teenager, I had some signs of hormone imbalance that at the time, you know, didn't connect, of course, to PCOS. That word wasn't known to me. But when I was a teenager, I had really heavy, painful periods that would keep me home from school sometime, and really extreme PMS that impacted me a lot emotionally. And the doctor put me on birth control pills to try to just for me to have a lighter cycle and a more regular cycle. So that was first, the first sign, I would say. And then I had my first child when I was 17, the teen mom. And that pregnancy went really well, and it was really healthy. I gained maybe 60 pounds during the pregnancy, which was a lot for a 17-year-old. And that was a sign. With each of my pregnancies, I seemed to just keep gaining weight and keep going up in weight quite a lot. And my weight gain wouldn't be slowly creeping up. There were periods where it would just be really fast, a lot of weight really fast, not just when I was pregnant, but in between pregnancies too. And then I had my second child when I was a single mom. I was a 17-year-old single mom, and I met my husband and the father of my other two children when I was 20, and I had my second child when I was 22, and that pregnancy also went fairly well. I was healthy, the baby was healthy, kept gaining weight, and then I got pregnant with my third child, and I got pregnant when I was 24, and that pregnancy was really odd because I felt pregnant, and I wasn't having a period, and I kept buying home pregnancy tests, and they were negative. Maybe 4 different times I would buy home pregnancy tests, and they were negative. And I was exhausted. I was so tired, and my stomach was getting bigger, too, and I thought either I'm pregnant and it's not showing up on the tests, or I have a growth or something in my stomach because something's really wrong. I went to a health clinic, and I was given some medication to jumpstart my period since I wasn't having my period, and the pregnancy test there was also negative. I didn't take it because I felt pregnant, and I wanted to see a better doctor than the health clinic who was there. So I went up to Virginia Mason in Seattle, which was a couple-hour drive. I was in Washington at the time, and was going to, I think it was an OB that I was seeing. Can't remember, I believe it was. And they said, well, let's just do an ultrasound. And they did an ultrasound, and I was about three months pregnant, 3.5 months maybe, or 4 even. It was pretty far along, 3 to 4 yeah. months pregnant. So just my body wasn't giving out the hormones to say you're pregnant, so all the tests were negative. And that pregnancy was different. I think I was about 8 weeks before I was due. We were already in Alaska, and they had an ultrasound, and there wasn't hardly any amniotic fluid, and they didn't know if I was leaking fluid or if I wasn't making fluid. So they airlifted me down. It's really weird to fly in a jet down to Seattle when you're laying down on a stretcher. It was a very weird experience, but it was about 8 weeks before I had my youngest. Went down there, was at Swedish Medical Center, really knowledgeable staff that deal with high-risk pregnancies and neonatal things, and they did a test where they injected my sac with blue dye, and they could somehow tell by monitoring my pee or what was coming out of me whether I was leaking fluid or just not making enough fluid, and I wasn't leaking it, so my body just wasn't making enough amniotic fluid. So they kept me there for about almost three weeks to monitor, because it's a risky situation for a baby not to have the fluid, because they can more easily get strangled on the cord and things like that. So they did, once they knew her lungs were developed enough, they did let me fly back to Alaska to have her there, because my husband and the other four kids were in Alaska, and it was hard for me to be so far away, and I really wanted to have the baby in Alaska. So I flew back, and she was induced 5 weeks early. They said it was just too risky to send me home without enough amniotic fluid, and that she would be okay at 5 weeks early. But my body didn't want to have her at 5 weeks early. I got a lot of drugs put in me to induce labor, and it didn't feel natural, and it was a really uncomfortable, weird labor, I guess. And she was born, and she was really good. Her lungs were developed. She was 5 weeks early. She had a little bit of a hard time latching on for breastfeeding, but eventually she did. I don't think I was making enough breast milk, though, so I was definitely supplementing. It's like my body wasn't doing the stuff that it's supposed to do when you're pregnant. And that was when I just, both our birthdays are in January. I turned 25 on January 8th. She was born on January 21st. So I think whatever was going on with my body, which I now know is PCOS, without some sort of change in what I was doing or hormonal change or something, I'm not sure I could have gotten pregnant after that, because that pregnancy barely made it. You know, my body wasn't doing what it's supposed to do to make the amniotic fluid or to even the hormones to show up in a pregnancy test. So that those were, you know, especially around then, around when I had Mary, it was just really, really off. And then I didn't have a period for a long time. I was nursing till maybe she was about 15 months old, but I wasn't, like I said, making much milk, so I had to supplement that. But even long after that, I didn't have a period for a really long time. And then I had a period for a month that was ridiculous, heavy bleeding, just bleeding through all the tampons and pads. And around that time was when I got a scan, and there were cysts on my ovaries. And I know there aren't always cysts on your ovaries when you have PCOS, but there were some cysts. They didn't diagnose me with PCOS. I just remember them saying, you have cysts on your ovaries. And I think they might have put me back on birth control around then to try to get me in some sort of normal routine, since it was, you know, years without a period and then a month of really over-the-top bleeding, to the point that I was iron deficient. I was very tired. It was a lot of blood loss. Yeah. So those were some major signs, I'd say, that something was up during that time.
Yeah, I'll say. Oh, my gosh. And so then you think that you were back on birth control pills at that time just to help with the heavy periods. And then did you find yourself fatigued often? Were you pretty tired during this time?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I was definitely tired. It was hard, though, to separate what might be going on physically as far as the condition goes with being a full-time child protection social worker and having five kids at home and just a lot of stress in my life. So it was hard to tell, you know, it's hard for me to know that, like, it'd be easy to say, well, of course you're tired. But it was definitely a very deep level of tired. I don't even know how to explain it. It was just a level of fatigue that's so much more than what I think of now as going through a phase of being tired. It was really, really intense.
So then what was next for you? Like, how did you pull yourself out of this? You were so busy with work and kids, and what was next? Like, how did you figure out next steps?
Well, I think I think a lot of it was just kind of, I think there were a lot of years where I was just exhausted and surviving, basically. And I look back and I feel good about, you know, I was there for the kids. They did come first. I was good at my job. I got some promotions and ended up in different roles and things like that. It's not a field that most people stay in for 17 and a half years. So I was able to, you know, thrive at work. And take care of the kids, but I definitely came last. There was a time, like around, I mean, I would go to the doctor and say, you know, I'm exhausted, I don't feel well, I keep, without making any changes and with eating fairly healthy, and the first 3 years of Mary's life, I waited tables, and I was, you know, when you wait tables, you just walk all the time for your whole shift.
Right.
I did that at night,
right.
So we didn't need daycare. But, you know, basically I just kept getting told, well, you need to stop eating so much and lose weight, and, you know, your weight's going up. At that time, all my numbers still looked good. I think my blood sugar tests were sometimes showing up in the pre-diabetes range, but my
mm-hmm.
and sometimes my good cholesterol was low. I remember that. But they would do blood tests, and they would, you know, I was on Prozac. They would give me handouts about the food pyramid, and definitely felt a lot of judgment and assumption, like I must be just sitting around eating gallons of ice cream and whole giant bags of potato chips all the time because I was getting so big. You know, definitely
mm-hmm.
feeling that from the medical community, like you just need to lose weight. And I, you know, was well into the 200s. I wasn't just a little bit overweight. I mean, I still am fairly large. And so it was, my weight was really high, and that was definitely always the focus when I go
mm-hmm.
to the doctor. It was wait, lose weight, and
mm-hmm.
then you'll feel better, then you won't be tired. And it was some point, I don't remember exactly when, I think it was early 30s maybe, there was a doctor that mentioned PCOS that looked at all my stuff, and it might have been not too long after the whole bleeding for a month straight, and I think they may have connected the scan that showed the cysts on my ovaries with the really messed up cycle, and said, you might have something called PCOS. But they didn't know much about it, but they did know that metformin is something you can give for people with PCOS. So I did get prescribed metformin for a while. Then I didn't stay on it for that long at that point, maybe early 30s, because I felt really, really sick on it. My body wasn't tolerating it well. And then they put me on more of an extended release one. That seemed to work a little better, but I didn't really stay on it consistently through my 30s. And I think my 30s were mostly, you know, raising the five kids, trying to keep my, you know, marriage okay, which wasn't a good relationship from the beginning, but trying to keep it that going, focusing on my career, which was very demanding, and just getting through. And, you know, I just kept gaining weight. I was depressed. I was overwhelmed. I had acne. One thing I remember is the doctor, I would get to some good doctors that would try to, I think, understand what was going on. I don't know that they had enough information about PCOS. And I would, by this point, I would mention it, like, I've been told that I probably have PCOS, or I think I do, because I had done some research on my own, and I don't think they knew enough to really help, but I didn't always get just the, no, you don't have that. It was more of, oh, maybe, but they would ask me questions about my symptoms or specific questions, and I could never tell them. Back then I would get some migraines, and they would say, how many do you get a year? Because how many of you had in the last year? And I couldn't tell them. And definitely this theme through that time of not being connected with my body or symptoms. And I was really good at
uh-huh.
putting my physical, how I was feeling physically aside and doing a good job at work and taking care of my kids and, you know, doing everything I need to do at home and not listening to my body. Like, I could go a long time at work without peeing, for example, because I could just, like, disconnect. I could very easily disconnect from the tiredness or the migraine or the feeling sick or having a cold or having to pee or being hungry or anything and just disconnect and keep going. So they would ask me about my symptoms, and I couldn't tell them because I didn't remember because I didn't pay enough attention to how I was feeling physically. Looking back, they'd always say, well, you don't know how often you had migraines last year. I'd be like, I don't remember. I wouldn't remember. So that wasn't my priority at all.
Right.
So, yeah, at some point in, I'd say later 30s, I started doing more research on my own about PCOS. Had a doctor who seemed to know what it is, but still the treatment was metformin, and you really need to lose weight. Do you want to see a nutritionist? You really need to lose weight. And I would say I'm not eating more than other people around me who aren't getting bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, I'm not.
Right.
There would just, again, be all this judgment about that. And so a lot of focus on that. And then at one point, too, I think it must have been late 30s or so, I did order the Insulite system. So that would have been maybe, I don't know, 8 years ago or something. And I did it for a couple months, and I was getting into it, and I stopped. And I don't remember why I stopped other than that I think I was just so focused on the kids and my work. My marriage was starting to fall apart around then. So I was, going through a divorce, and I just, I'd have these glimmers where I'd start taking care of myself, and then it would just be, I'd push that aside because I just had too much else going on.
Right.
I did, during my late 30s, I ate low carb for 2 years, and I did lose a good amount of weight, like 50 or 60 pounds. I was also doing this body pump class, this weightlifting class twice a week. And so that was a period of time. I think the divorce was somewhere around that time too, but there was this period of time where I was really fighting for trying to do what I thought was best for feeling better. And I definitely did feel better on the low carb, which would have cut out, wheat and sugar, and didn't cut out dairy, mm-hmm. but it cut out some of the things that help us feel better. I did start feeling better. My skin started clearing up. I was sleeping better. I was less my emotions fluctuated less. I just felt more stable emotionally, more steady. So that did help me. I was still fairly overweight because 50 pounds wasn't enough to get me into, out of the obese category. But I felt better. Then I think it was towards the end of that time that it was divorce and just life overwhelming me. So I stopped doing the low-carb thing. I stopped going to the gym and doing the weight training and then gained back all of that weight over time. So there'd be these periods where I'd really kind of fight for like, no, I'm going to be well. I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to do this. And one of the things looking back, though, is I would be very extreme about it. Like when I did low carb for 2 years, I did it perfectly for 2 years, and I didn't eat any sugar. And I remember one of my son being upset because I wouldn't have a bite of my birthday cake. he was really upset with me. And I was just in this like all or nothing mode. Either I'm going to the gym and doing this 1 hour, intense weightlifting class twice a week, plus doing this other exercise and eating like very, very low carb, like, 20 or 30 grams a day or less. And I was also having a lot of fake sugar and stuff like that because that I'd have Splenda in my coffee. But I was either like I was like so strict during that time that it was pretty stressful and I had all this pressure on myself. And then when I stopped, I like went completely off. Like I didn't, there was no balance. It was all or nothing. And that's kind of how I did it. I would just get really extreme and try something really hard for a while. And then if it didn't go perfectly or if I didn't lose weight, I'd say, forget it all. And I just forget it all. So that was kind of what I was doing during those years. And then, you know, I definitely knew I had PCOS by then and had a doctor who agreed I had it, even though the advice was still metformin and lose weight. There, you know, I was reading more about it. I went back to school and did this four-year half-time Master's of Social Work program from 2009 to 2013, and that was a really stressful time. I was still kind of tied up in some of the divorce stuff at the partway through that, and so that involved me working my full-time job. My kids were teens by then, some of them were out of the house, but it included doing half-time practicum hours on two of the 4 years, so I'd work, you know, I was working and having class 2 hours a day, so I was pretty much booked up from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. I was doing, I was just working or studying all the time and going through some stress in my personal life, and I remember during that stress I lost a lot of my hair. My hairdresser noticed. She's like, in the last 6 months you've lost, I think, half of your hair. Yeah, that was really a hard time. I graduated in 2013. I met my now husband in 2012, so that was good. Things were happening towards the end of that stressful period of school, but the beginning part was pretty rough. I did finish school, which was great, and, you know, was definitely a bit tired after that. Went through a period, I think, of kind of resting and recovering after the stress, and around that time, too, got diagnosed with sleep apnea. One of my kids said, you know, I never noticed you snoring before, but you're snoring really, really loud. Like, I can hear it downstairs, and my blood pressure was high for the first time ever in my life. And so I read somewhere, there was a radio ad on that said, do you have these symptoms? You could have sleep apnea. So I went, they tested me, and it was pretty severe. I was stopping breathing like 30 times an hour, and the longest time was about 90 seconds. So that's a long time to hold your breath for 90 seconds. So,
okay.
So I was exhausted then. So like that was happening. That happened, I think, around 2000. I guess it was late 2013. I got diagnosed with that and got a CPAP, which then felt better really soon, and my blood pressure went back to normal really soon. So, but that kind of developed during that same time when I was under a lot of stress. So just like from that point on till October when I started the program, I think I was doing a better job of taking care of myself. I was, you know, past the divorce by then. That happened in 2011. Had started a new relationship with someone who lives in England, but he was here and I was at home. But it was a very positive thing because he's a caregiver like I am. So he caregives me, which is nice to accept, and not in the way my first relationship was at all. So I started the plan in October, in the fall, last fall, and I knew I was going to be moving to England, and part of my motivation was I just want to feel healthy for my new life. I felt like I had a lot of the information at that point. I mean, I had had that success with low carb, even though I know I still had some things that wouldn't help my condition, but I cut out some major things that did impact me. And I knew by then about, you know, how stress can impact PCOS, and I was definitely had some information about, you know, I have some general ideas but could use more information about how to feel better, but I think I can feel better. And then so I started the program in October, and still working on following all aspects of the plan. I'm definitely not there yet. I still feel like I'm early in my recovery journey, which I think my recovery journey started, you know, before I went on this program. It started with ending an unhealthy relationship and
yes.
making some decisions about the kind of life I wanted and the kind of partner I would be willing to have if I was going to have to get married again, and focusing on my kids and myself more. So I was in a good place because I was already heading in the right direction. My hair had started to grow back because I was dealing with stress better. And so I was in, I think I was in a good place in October to say, okay, let's take some more steps to what I had already started. And I, you know, most of my improvements in my health, I would say, well, they are, they're little bit of scale victory, but not a huge scale victory. So they're mostly non-scale victories, I'd say, but they're really big to me. It's one of the things that happened is I don't have incontinence, or like I don't, when I sneeze or laugh, I don't pee a little bit. And I had been doing that for years, and I assumed it was just because I'm overweight. But it's hormonal, I've learned, and
yes,
I don't have that
that's
issue anymore.
So awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and so that's pretty cool. That was cool. Definitely my skin's healthier, my hair's healthier, I have more energy. When I got married in February, I felt, like, good in my own skin. I felt pretty at my wedding. I took the step to hire, like, a hair person and a makeup person, even though it was just the two of us eloping to Gibraltar. I still, you know, was like, I'm going to look pretty on my wedding day. And I, you know, I'm more likely to take care of myself in those ways. Like, I can still do things that make me look pretty, even though I'm big. And so I'm definitely less bloated. And I think one of the biggest things for me has been this mental change of being gentler on myself and not being so, it has to be all or nothing. After I moved from Alaska in November, I was coming here in January and February to get married, and then I was staying with my parents a lot. I stayed with my sister. My mom had knee replacement surgery in April, and I was her main caregiver for the first 5 weeks. So I was kind of all over the place and in transition, and sometimes didn't feel like I had a lot of control over my environment. And but during that time, instead of being like, oh, well, I can't take care of my health right now because I don't have enough control over my environment, and I'm staying here, there, and everywhere, and I'm living out of a suitcase, I kept taking my supplements no matter where I was, and I made more good choices. Instead of thinking like, well, I'm not doing this all perfect, so forget it, I'm just going to do whatever I want and, you know, eat whatever I want, I would say, well, I'm not sure what I might be fed dinner tonight when I'm at this relative's house, or I don't know how that's going to work, but I would have all the stuff together for smoothies, and I'd be like, I'm going to have this healthy meal, and I'm going to have this healthy meal, and maybe this one wasn't exactly, you know, what I know to be the best for me, but I would still say I'm gonna do it when I can. I'm going to do it when I choose to do it, but I'm not going to just throw it all away. I'm not going to say that just if you don't do it perfect, don't do anything. Like, I kept doing things that would improve my health and thinking of it more as, right now I can feed my body something healthy, and it's okay if I made a choice when I was visiting this person that I did eat what they prepared for me. It's, you know, it's, I chose that, and maybe I didn't feel that great afterwards, but I didn't say, and because I did that, forget it for the next week or anything like that. I was more in balance, and gentler on myself, I'd say. So, so I think that attitude change has been a big one for me. So that's my story up till now, I'd say.
Yeah, that's quite a story, Jeannie. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. It really, you know, helped to, I think that you have a lot of insights, you know, thinking back on your journey that, you know, you didn't have when you were going through it.
Yeah.
And that's so critical. One thing, well, there are a lot of really awesome things that you mentioned, but one that I wanted to just ask you really quickly about, because we're kind of running out of time now, but was about your skin. So we didn't hear what was wrong with your skin. So your skin improved. It got a lot better, but did you have acne?
Since I was a kid, I have had eczema, and I break out a lot on my arms and my hands and sometimes my legs and even my torso, especially when I'm under stress or if I'm not taking care of myself. So that kind of ebbs and flows, and it's just not something that's an issue right now unless I do something crazy like clean something with a bad cleaner and not wear gloves or something, then my skin lets me know it's not happy. But in my 30s I had a lot of acne, and that's gone away. I haven't had that lately though, but and also I think just almost just having more of a glow, I guess I'd say.
Yeah, just prettier skin.
Yeah,
for sure. Let's see. So just want to touch on a couple of things here. So it was last October that you started the PCOS 5-Element System. You kind of recommitted to that, and no matter what your life circumstances, you decided that you were going to stick to it.
Yeah,
and I
was
love that.
Do
we're not
as
going
much
to,
as I could. Yeah.
Yeah. Not blame, you know, your lack of control over the environment. A lot of what you touched on is sort of a new direction of Insulite Health, which is really focusing on what I call the hormone deal breakers. Those things that constantly stress out your body that cause all of these hormone imbalances. And you touched on a lot of them. So you really in your own way, started to understand that toxic relationships are hormone deal breakers, right? Loss of a lot of blood, which cause anemias and iron anemia, that's a hormone deal breaker. Having a super busy life is a hormone deal breaker. Having, you know, a lot of, you know, three children, sometimes even just with one child can throw your thyroid into hypothyroidism. So you've really touched on a lot of hormone deal breakers. And I think that's, you know, a big takeaway from your story is identify what those are for you and start to knock them down. And another thing that you identified was, you know, the very traditional approach that we women learn really to take in dealing with our health and our weight, which is to under-eat and over-exercise, right? And to focus on, and then sort of the all-or-nothing approach, which is just that, like, okay, that was certainly my approach, you know, I'm going to eat nothing and go exercise, and hopefully by tomorrow I'll feel and look better. Oh, and then, of course, it's not sustainable. So then we can't keep it going long term. And thankfully, because we don't want that approach. And one more thing that you talked about, you know, which is being gentler on yourself, making this a life journey instead of, you know, I'm going to try this for a couple of months. We really encourage women to stay on the system, the 5-Element System. You know, we have new videos now, so you get a video every week. You have a monthly success packet for 12 months, because it's after 12 months or during those 12 months that your cells really start to change. You start replacing the bad habits with new, better habits. You give yourself the grace of time to make these changes and to be gentler on yourself and to learn that it's okay, you know, to have these ups and downs. So you've really discovered a lot of really amazing things.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a long journey, I'd say. But
Gosh. Well, it is, right? I mean, that's how it was for me. And I always say, geez, please join me so I can shorten your journey of feeling terrible, you know, because once you start figuring it out, you definitely want to shorten the time of torture with PCOS and hormone imbalance symptoms. So just want to make sure that if you're on the call live, that you ask questions. Just want to make sure you get entered to win. what we're going to do is let's just answer a couple of questions right now, and then I want you to be thinking, Jeannie, about just three quick tips that you can give our listeners today that would help them get started on taking charge of their PCOS and hormone imbalance symptoms. So what are just three easy tips using our 5% solution, just real baby steps, that you would like our listeners today to know that if you had known way back when would have really helped you? So I'll let you think about that. And we just have, I think, a few questions. Angie, will you share with us questions or comments?
Sure. We have a question from Crystal, and she's asking if we have any advice on how to reestablish normal sleep patterns. She says, I tend to wake up after 4 hours of sleep.
Thank you, Crystal, so much for your question. You know, sleep can be really elusive, and it also, there's a very long explanation to establishing or reestablishing normal sleep patterns. So I'll just give you a few quick tips. One is how you spend your day is how your night is going to be. So if you have a really busy day, your night's going to be really busy. So you have to start establishing routines that support a more well-balanced day so that you have a more well-balanced night. If you're constantly waking up 4 hours after you go to sleep, it depends when you're going to sleep as to what might be the cause. There's almost always a rise in our stress hormone cortisol that's waking you up. So your life is too stressful, and it could be any one of the, you know, gazillion hormone deal breakers. Like maybe you're not eating a high protein breakfast within an hour of waking. You have to eat, you know, a nice, well-balanced meal every 5 hours to keep your hormones balanced. You have to get enough fiber in to keep your blood sugar balanced and your transit time more normal. So just some basic things, you know, eating a healthy protein, fat, and carb every time you eat. So those are the things that we teach you in our PCOS five-element system. So thanks so much for your great question. And just start with, you know, a really high protein breakfast with some nice vegetables for breakfast. And, you know, just start paying attention to your day and taking better care of yourself during the day so your night can be more restful, because sleep is really the magic that helps to balance hormones more than anything else. But there are steps to getting good sleep. So thanks so much for your great question. Do we have any other questions, Angie?
Nope, that's our only question for right now. We just have a few other ladies who just commented about how they were excited to hear Jeannie's story.
Oh, thanks so much. Great. All right, well, good. Well, let's hear from Jeannie. She's going to give us her three top tips for just getting started on feeling better. And then, Angie, you can pick our winner for today. So, Jeannie,
okay,
go ahead and give us your three tips.
Okay. I think my first one would be that your health isn't all about your weight and the number on the scale, and there are a lot of other things to measure. I think in the past I've gotten so hung up on that number that I've gotten really frustrated, and because it's so hard for that number to go down and so easy for that number to go up, that you know, a lot of feelings of hopelessness and frustration and shame around that that did not serve me well to focus on that so much. So.
Right.
You know, I don't think that that's the best thing to just solely focus on. I don't think it's kind of creates the right environment for you to get well if that's the main thing that you are measuring. And yeah, because when I did that, I would just give up when that was all I focused on. And then another thing is, I think just your attitude makes a big difference as far as trying to be gentle on yourself and just how you talk to yourself and messages you say to yourself and you know, be more positive with yourself. I think that can help with that all or nothing trap that we can fall into. And then the third one I would say is just live your life now and don't wait. I used to do a lot of, I'm not going to contact that old friend from high school when I'm back in my hometown because I've gotten too big and I'm embarrassed. And I think I missed out on a lot of moments with people because I was hiding because I was ashamed about my weight. And, you know, even missed out on periods of my life where I wouldn't buy myself clothes or wouldn't take care of, like, my hair or things like that because I, you know, was just kind of like, no, I don't deserve that. I have to wait, and I'll have those things when I am not as big or something. So my recommendation is to live your life now and to treat yourself well now and to love now and experience things now. And that's part of healing, too. You don't have to deprive yourself from everything until you're a certain way. So those are my three.
Lovely. Oh, my gosh. They are absolutely perfect. And your first one, which is about if your health is not all about your weight, remember you have to get healthy to lose weight. You cannot lose weight to get healthy. So you're absolutely right. And I just want to leave you with that. And, you know, no matter how long it takes us to figure that out, it happens when it happens. So I think that's a fabulous piece of advice. And just want to thank you so much, Jeannie, for being with us today. We really thank you for staying up late for us. We know I know how important sleep is, and so again, I hope that you get a super restful night's sleep and get to sleep in a little bit tomorrow. For giving of yourself today, we are just so so grateful. And hang on, and Angie's going to going to announce the winner of 1 month worth of our PCOS 5 element system, and then we'll say goodbye for today. So, Angie, who is our winner? Okay, and our winner is Crystal. Oh, congratulations, Crystal. Awesome. We look forward to seeing you in our amazing Empowered VIP group, and we look forward to supporting you. And thank you, everyone, for being with us today. It's always a treat to share this special time with you, and I always get re-inspired on these calls, and believe me, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, so that we can all stay on this together. All right, have a great, great rest of your day, everyone, and look forward to seeing you back here again next month. Bye for now.
Thank you for joining us today on the Insulite Health PCOS Inspiration Hour. Mark your calendar now for Inspiration Hour next month. Don't miss it.